Hi, I'm Mary Louise Lorfner Hancock. I'd like to read some memories that I wrote February and March of 1982 so that my children and grandchildren can listen to my voice, as well as some of the memories that I have written. I was born June the 9th, 1912, at 2535 Boulevard Place, Marion County, Indianapolis, Indiana, to Luther and Flora Harmon Lorfner. Some of the old pictures I have show the number of the house, 2531, so at some time the number was changed, as the house is still the same one. Most babies were born at home then instead of hospitals. My sister Manita was also born at this home. Charlotte, Dad's daughter by his first wife, lived with Mom and Dad till I was about 6 years old. It was Charlotte who named my sister Manita. I was just 2 years old and I couldn't say Manita, so I called her Baby Nita. Everyone called her Baby Nita until 2 or 3 years after we came to the farm. Then Manita was dropped and she was just called Babe. And she is still just called Babe. In these memories, I refer to my father as Dad, my mother as Mom, my sister as Babe. In some memories, I mention my husband, Joel Robert Hancock, as Bob, and a few times my children as Bobby Joe, John, and Sue Ann. The farm I write about is located 1 mile west and a few hundred feet north of Pikestown, Indiana, and is owned by my son John Hancock and family now. This farm has been a family-owned farm for over 100 years. My grandfather, Ambrose Lorfner, bought it July the 12th, 1862. My dad, Luther, bought it October 1929. Then after Dad's death in 1957, Mom was the owner, and after Mom's death in 1976, my sister Manita and I became the owners. My sister, Babe, wanted to sell, so my son bought the farm June the 23rd, 1977. I don't remember much of my life in Indianapolis. We had a big backyard, a wood fence along the alley back of the house. Dad had a tall ash can at the fence, and when Babe and I heard the fire wagon bells, we would run and climb up on that ash can to watch the fire wagons on North Capitol Avenue, which was the street east of Boulevard Place. The horses pulling the fire wagons were mostly white horses, and they ran very fast. There was nearly always a Dalmatian dog riding on the seat with the driver. I remember a boy next door used to walk to school with me. The school was 2 or 3 blocks north and east of our house and was on Capitol Avenue. Babe and I used to play in a vacant lot just south of our house with a girl older than us. Her name was Mary Ines Vermillion, and her dad was a vet at the Indianapolis Stockyards. Stockyards was where farmers brought pigs and sheep and cows to be sold. We went to church at First Lutheran Church in North Pennsylvania, and I especially remember the big pipe organ, as I loved to listen to it played. I don't remember much of the celebration of the end of World War I, except the noise. Church bells ringing, whistles blowing, and a big parade. I remember seeing a casket in the parade, which was supposed to represent the dead German leader. I don't remember how our furniture and so forth was moved to the farm, but it was probably shipped by railroad or interurban. There was a railroad station in Pointstown with a freight building where things shipped were unloaded off the trains. There was also an interurban station with freight office, which was operating much like the railroads, except on a smaller scale. The interurban cars were also called streetcars, and mostly carried passengers or small freight. The interurban rents had steel tracks like the railroad and ran alongside of the railroad. We moved to the farm west of Whitestown in March of 1920, which belonged to Dad's father, Ambrose Offner. Uncle John, Dad's brother, and Aunt May Loftner moved to their farm west of Whitestown, where they lived when my children, Bobby Joe, John, and Sue Ann, were small. I don't know how long Uncle John and Aunt May lived in Granddad Loftner's house, but I sort of remember them moving out as we moved in. Dad worked as a tenor for Mr. Joseph Gardner at Indianapolis for 22 years. He worked on gutters, pipes for furnaces, and so forth. Dad helped put the copper roof on the state house at Indianapolis. I don't know why Dad wanted to give up a good job and come back to the farm where he was born. Only that neighborhood was fast being sold to colored people. Dad sold our home to a colored minister. After Granddad Loftner died in August of 21, Dad rented the farm from his brothers and sisters. Then he bought it in October of 1929. When the Whitestown Bank closed in late 1929, at the beginning of the Great Depression, most of the money was lost because of a crime Uncle Frank Loftner had not got it divided. There was very hard feelings, and the four sisters wouldn't speak to their brothers for a while. They did finally forget their hurts and did visit each other before any of them died. It seemed we never had much money, especially after Dad bought the farm. Every extra cent was spent for horses, wagons, cows, or for farm tools, or for payment on the farm. It was especially hard during the Depression. No one had any money, but we had plenty of food because we raised it on the farm. We mostly used Mom's chicken and egg money for things we had to buy. We had a huckster wagon with all kinds of groceries, candy, and so forth. Our huckster was Mr. Van Wilson, whose grocery store was good gets in Indiana. Mom sold or traded eggs and chickens for groceries to Mr. Wilson on Tuesday. And then on Saturday nights, we always took eggs to Dunnigan's store and sold them or traded for other groceries we needed. Nunnigler's store was where Masonic Lodge is now. There is a good story about Nunnigler's store in the 1971 Whitestown book. For a long time, we went to town, church, and so forth in a buggy. Then Dad got a Surrey. I don't remember whether it had fridge on top, but I hated the thing. Dad got a storm buggy later. This was an enclosed buggy and had sliding doors on it. When it rained or snowed, we didn't get wet. Dad bought an old Monroe touring car at a sale, but didn't know how to drive it, so someone brought it home for him. I think it was Bruce Shoemaker's brother, for it was that Bruce Shoemaker's dad's sale that he bought the car. I don't remember how Dad learned to drive it, but he did try to teach Mom. They drove in the pasture west of the field, west of the barn, till Dad decided Mom had learned well enough to go out on the road. She did fine till an old hen ran in front of the car, where George Hyde lives now, and she slammed on the brakes to keep from killing the hen. Dad scolded her, and Mom never drove after that. I remember Dad traded the old Monroe touring car on the day before Christmas for one that had windows like the old cars now. The touring car had curtains you had to fasten on. These curtains didn't fit very tight, and if a sudden rain came up, you just got wet. Dad couldn't get this car that he bought the day before Christmas started on Christmas morning. So we all four walked to to church, mom, dad, David, 5 o'clock in the morning. The bright Christmas star in the east and snow crunching under our feet. It was a bitter cold that morning I never will forget. The year was 1924 or 25, I believe, because after Christmas, Dad called Benny Farrell. He's the one who had sold the used car to Dad and told him he wanted a car that would start. That is when he brought the Willis Knight, a 1924, I believe, the only new car Dad ever bought. The Willis Knight was a three-door car, and Dad kept it until he bought the 1937 Buick.